Yes, yes, in the beginning. Now, open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies. What chapter are we on? Chapter 11 is right. We ended up on verse 35. A lot of teenagers would use this verse. If they could quote one verse, they get a sucker, get to go to lunch first or something like that, and they would quote this verse. This is their favorite verse. Some adults use that. And it might be the only verse some know. I don't know that. I don't know. But it may also not only be the shortest verse, but maybe the most important verse. Jesus wept. I'm talking about the sympathizing Savior. It's true. If you want to see how much God loved us, look at the cross. We were born on the cross. The church was born on the cross out of the Lord's side, just like Eve came out of Adam's side. And the cross shows how much God loves us. And He knew at the virgin birth and before, eons and eons before, the Lord knew when He was born to die. We're born to die, but He was born for a cross. He knew that was going to be His end. Psalm 78:38. I'm talking about the sympathizing Savior. But He being full of compassion. Oh, so many times I'm not. So many times I'm full of self. My dad's warning, when he warned us, what he would say was, you're full of yourself, aren't you? And we all knew. We all knew. But the fact is, the sad part is, I never grew up. So many times today, I find myself full of myself.
Yeah.
Full of Rick. Not acting like Brother Rick, acting like Rick. Full of self. Here's not the Lord. Not the sympathizing Savior, but He being full of compassion forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not. You know where I ought to be. See, I should be in hell right now. That's where I should be. Destroyed them not. Yea, many a time He turned His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh again. Flesh, just like that grass that dies and you bale it up. Psalm 86:15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Mercies are new every morning, is what Brother Jerry says. 103:13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence, not a regular old angel, the angel of His presence saved them. In His love, in His pity, He redeemed them, and He bare them and carried them all the days of old. It's what He does for us. Matthew 9. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. And He's sick. This place is full of sick that God healed. Many times. He didn't just heal us one time. Many times. Sister Jean came home yesterday. 20:34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. When you got born again, you started out on your pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is a journey to a sacred place. You started out on your, you started out following Him. It's what happened immediately when you got born again, when you got your eyes open. Remember when you saw the light?
Yes.
Mark 1:41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. He cleaned me up.
Yeah.
We didn't clean ourselves. We didn't clean ourselves. If you're clean this morning, it's because He cleaned you. That's how He does it. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now that's not proper in grammar. It's called a double negative, but it's proper in Bible. If God says it, it's right. The sense of it in grammar is, for we have a high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So double negative in math, they cross each other out. But I'm going to read it the Bible way because it's true in the Bible. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. As a hen gathereth her chicks, as a mother, that's how much He loves us. As a mother that laid down her life for the chicks. I heard about the forest fire that went through. They found a hen that was burned up. When they kicked her, turned her over, the chicks was under her wings. And they went running out. She gave her life. The Lord did that freely. As a nurse, cherish us, her children. Yeah. That's the way He does. I heard about the boy on the mission field. His brother was going to have a blood transfusion or a pint of blood or something. And he knew enough to know that the life of the flesh was in the blood. And he said he'd give his brother the blood. And he did. And when it's done, he asked the doctor, he said, now, when am I going to die? He thought that was it, that they was going to take all of his blood, all of his life. But he did. He was willing. But he like, that's the Lord. That's more. The Lord did more than that. Jesus wept. We're talking about the sympathizing Savior. Perhaps the greatest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. We're in John 11:35. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Verse 36 now, the sincerity. Then said the Jews, behold how He loved him. Sincere. I say I love you. I may or may not. I don't know. Sincerity. He does. He does. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind, if He really opened them, have caused that even this man should not have died? The scorning. The liability. They lied to Him. They limited Him. They labeled Him with sarcasm. If He really opened His eyes in the last chapter, wouldn't He be able to now? 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Here's the groaning. He's confronted with death. They seldom dug graves. They used caves and rolled the stone over the front like we know. 39. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, not Ann, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Like he didn't know. And she said, Lord, I mean, he's really dead. He's not just dead. I mean, he's really dead. It's going to be a tough one right here. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. We forget. He said, didn't I already tell you? Said I not unto thee? Let's check it out. Matthew 13:58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It was their loss. It's my loss if I don't believe. I'm the one that's going to miss out. All the blessings are in believing. And it's simple. It's faith. Faith. Mark 9. Trust. Rely. Depend. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. John 3:16 is the most popular verse, I guess. Maybe other than that other one we just read. But my personal favorite is 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not, now that was me the first 20 years of my life, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he didn't behave. No, because he didn't get baptized. No, because he wasn't a Baptist. No, because he wasn't good. No, because he didn't keep the commandments. No, because he didn't put money in the pot. No, because he didn't join up. No. No, 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 no. Because he hath not believed. Hath not believed in what? Not the Reader's Digest. Not the Charleston Gazette. Hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's read it again proper. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the big S Son hath present tense right now everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Hebrews 11:6. You can probably quote it. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, that's faith in Christ. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe in Christ, by the way. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. These were unbelievers. The Lord was surrounded by unbelief. It's chronic unbelief. He said, didn't I tell you? Verse 41. John 11:41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. The first thing he did was thank him. Man, I get too busy and I get caught up and I forget to thank him. I'm forgetful. Maybe my greatest sin is not thanking him. And now he may have a different list, but I think too many times I forget to thank him. Before he asked, he thanked him. Before he asked, he thanked him. 42. And I knew that thou hearest me. Did I read 41? Okay. And I knew that thou hearest me always. He's talking to the Father. But because of the people that stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Almost everything he did was that they may believe. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. If he hadn't have said Lazarus, the graveyard would have emptied out. he that was dead. Verse 44. And he that was dead. There's not going to be no greater miracle than this right here. If you don't believe this, that's it. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. He that was dead, that was 4 days dead, that stinks, that is rotten. Only God could do this. There can be no bigger miracle. The healing the blind was a miracle, but there's no bigger miracle than this right here. And it's proved by sight, by all the senses, sight, smell, hearing, touch, remove the clothes. At His word, corruption put on incorruption. Sown in weakness, raised by His word. Death swallowed up in victory, a foreshadow of things to come. A picture of the rapture. The Lord didn't do what they could do. He won't do what I can do. He expects me to do my part. To move the stone or mow the grass or whatever. He wants me to do my part. When the Lord rose from the dead a couple weeks ago, Easter, we celebrated. They didn't roll the stone away for Him to get out. It was for us to see, for the people to get in. 45, and many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. The sad part is not all. That's great that many did. The tragedy is not all. Here's the climax of all signs. Raised from the dead. There'd be nothing better or bigger. 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told. They tattletaled. Told them what things Jesus had done. Why? Why would they run and tell? They got a nose problem. They got a big nose problem. That's stupid. Why would they run and tell? But again, here's another picture of Brother Rick. They went their way. They went their way. They didn't go His way. They went their way. They got the choir, youth choir, sings the song, I've Made Up My Mind. And they're talking about following Jesus, that Jesus is God. But these have made up their mind beforehand not to believe, to be blind. They decide they want to be. The evidence doesn't matter. They've made up their mind. They've got their mind made up. John 5:24. Jesus is a picture of the rapture. John 5:24. I'm sorry, Lazarus is a picture of the rapture. John 5:24. I started making a list of my mistakes I make each week and it just got too much. I knew you didn't want to hear it. John 5:24. It gets longer every week, I think. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, anybody in here like that, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. Any sons in here? This ends His public ministry. We'll see it clearer again in verse 54. We read it last week. We'll be down to 54 here in a minute. And John the Baptist marked Him, got Him started out. And now He's going to end His public ministry and, I guess, do counseling. Personal work now. John spends almost as much time on the last 48 years of Jesus' life as the first 32 years. The last 48 hours. There's 89 chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and four chapters are on the first 30 years of his life, 85 chapters on the last 3 years when he's doing his public ministry. And the crowning miracles right here are that one rose from the dead. Here's one of them, then Jesus is one. The main one. Luke 16, 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I'm learning more and more the importance of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses was the human author of those. And the Lord tells us at least three times how important those books are. Verse 47. The plot to put him to death. Again, I don't understand this tattletaling. I don't understand. It's crazy to me. 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles? So what? Why wouldn't you be jumping up and down saying hallelujah? Why is that a problem? They pretend like they pretend. We imagine our imagination's what's killing us. They pretend like that's a problem. That's not a problem. They got a plot to put him to death here. The 71 members of the Sanhedrin are deeply agitated. They want to get rid of him. 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? Well, how about doing nothing? I just see a lot of problems would be solved if we just did nothing. Over and over again, I see that. I don't know why it's just brought to mind. Maybe you see it, I don't know. But many, many times I say, all you got to do is nothing. Just forget about it. Forget about it. His enemies believed. Hey, the enemy said he does many miracles. That's what the enemy said. He does many miracles. But they're still not willing. They didn't save them. The miracles didn't help the enemies. The seeing eye does not convert. The real problem is religious dictators, is the enemy. And in the end, it might be religion that kills us. It's happened down through history over and over again. Many crusades, religious crusades, down through history. 48. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Well, so what? I hope all men do. They got a real problem here. I mean, it's a real problem. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Uh-oh. Here we go. That's self. And Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. Uh-oh, I won't be a general anymore. Yeah. I won't be a sergeant anymore. I won't have my place. Unbelief. Fear of losing recognition. Esteem. Fear of losing a following. A position, an influence, an authority. O-U-R is the key word. It's not God. It's our place. We're going to lose our place. This is unbelief. It's reasoning. It's humanism. 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being a high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all. That's pretty bold. Pretty pride. There's another word. I might think of it later. I'll put it on that list for you next week. Froward. How about froward? Caiaphas. He said, y'all don't know nothing. You're dumb. Rather than a nation die, one. A sacrifice, one. But the fact is, the nation does die. In AD 70, Titus runs over. Caiaphas, his person, his pride, he know nothing at all. Guess what else? That same year, the high priest office ended forever. He's out anyway. He's out anyway. That same year, the temple veil was rent from top to bottom. That same year, the Holy of Holies was opened unto all. That same year, the Mosaic economy ended, that the sacrifices, you don't bring a lamb and a bull no more. Now we get to go straight in. Every believer is a priest. Now we can go. That same year, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished. It is finished. Salvation's done and paid for. That same year, Pentecost happened. The Holy Ghost moved inside us. Moved inside. That same year, the Holy Ghost was poured out. The Pharisees and Sadducees differed on their opinions, but they agreed 100% to destroy Jesus. They came together for the wicked. Caiaphas proved he cared nothing for the law. He violated all the rules of honor, conscience, and truth to commit murder. Verse 50, John 11. Here's his policy. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Well, he threw Jesus under the bus. He threw him to the wolves. He hated him, really. 51 and 52, we see his prophecy. 51 is John's explanation of it. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. 52 is John's amplification of it. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. It's really whosoever will. Caiaphas didn't understand that he was prophesying the truth. The rapture's whosoever will. John 12, 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I figured out really our only job's to lift him up. And it's easy. If you think about the sympathizing Savior, it's easy to lift him up. He did. After Calvary, everything's easy. It's easy to follow. He's done blazed the trail. It's easy to follow. Genesis 49:10 tells us it's going to happen. The Lord knew it a long time ago. Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. That's another name for Jesus. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people. The gathering of the people shall be. 53, back to John 11:53. We see his crime. Starting in 53, the motion passed. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. That settled it. They proceeded, though cautiously, unless the people be riled up. The murder was postponed. 54, therefore, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. He doesn't try to convince them anymore that he's the Messiah. Believe it if you want to. Believe if you want to. Omniscience, all knowing. He knew their hearts. He knew their minds. He knew their plans. And he withdrew to seclusion, made no further attempt to prove his Messiahship. And we're coming upon the last week of the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ. 55. And the Jews pass over. See, they done ruined it. It started out biblical and a celebration back in Exodus 12 of redemption, of being redeemed, of being delivered of the Jews being delivered, the Passover, the blood over the door. But the Jews had ruined it, and they'd made it their Passover. These religious leaders, not all the Jews, the religious leaders. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Really? Really? I'm talking about religion. Religion. The crimes of religion. More Jews were in Jerusalem now at this time than any other time. It was a yearly pilgrimage, like we said, to a holy place. A journey to a holy place. Supposed to be a holy place. All were extremely interested in becoming ceremonially clean. Clean by ritual. By ritual. But they end up killing the Lord of glory. Murder. 56 is a picture of the people. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" And then 57 is the priest. Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it, that they might take him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for willingly laying down your life for me, for us, dear Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.